today's chairman, I call this meeting to order. It is 10:01. Fair meeting, join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Great. Next item is approval of the agenda for December 1, 2020. Is there any discussion on this?
Chairman, I have a couple of that one item, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
All right, thank you. We would like to continue item number 16, and that would be the GID, Tri-GID bill number 126, ordinance 20-315. We'd like to continue that to the December 15, 2020 Board of County Commissioners meeting, technically at the courthouse about by Zoom.
All right, thank you for that. Are there any other adjustments to the agenda? Nothing. Lance, would you like to give me a motion today?
Absolutely. I'm motion to approve the agenda for today.
Excuse me, Commissioner Carlman?
Yes.
We need to ask some public comment.
My apologies. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? Last call, public comment. All right. Lance, if you wouldn't mind repeating that.
I move to approve today's agenda with changes.
All right. So I have a motion and I will second. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Next is the consent agenda. We will take no public comments on this. When you're ready, Lance.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
All right. Motion, yes.
Commissioner Kamal?
Yes.
It is an action item in that there requires a vote, and so that will require a public comment.
All right. Well, let's get all these out of the way then. So is there any public comment on today's consent agenda? Last call, public comment. All right. Lance, I promise not to get to see you again.
Consent agenda.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Next is public comment regarding anything that is not on the agenda. Is there any public comment today? All right, I'll take that as a no. Next on today's agenda is for discussion only. This will be committee and staff reports. I'm going to go through the list here. We'll start off with Martin, since you're fresh on the memory. Do you have any staff reports today?
Good morning, sir. Martin Esposito. I can be the old director of fire marshal for the record. Trust me. I just kind of an update for you regarding the Kyler Mobilize program that we are doing. It's moving along very, very well. We will be basically up and running. We're doing some trainings online with it right now, but we'll be starting real training on the 15th regarding that program. And we're kind of, all of us are kind of playing with it right now and seeing how it works. And it's looks like it's program for us in the county. On the entire info side of it, which is the business licensing and permitting and things like that, we will be starting our training in January on that program. And that program being now about to start has been a little bit more complicated, but we are moving along well with it. The dashboard report will be delayed until tomorrow. Due to the fact that a lot of us are working remotely right now, but I will have that out. I'll make sure IT puts that out on the website tomorrow, and I'll make sure that you all commissioners are copied. And that's
fantastic. Appreciate that, Martin. Lance, do you have any questions for Martin today?
No question.
All right, let's move on down the list. Let's go with the Comptroller's Office. I believe Jennifer's on today. Comptroller's Office, going once. Back twice.
Thank you. That's great, thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. All right. Let's move on to, we'll go with All Things Water, Mike Hammond.
Good morning, Chairman Carmona and members of the commission, Mike Hammond for the record. Couple of things later on the agenda that I'll save my comments for on a couple of action items. But just to inform you, you may have heard a couple weeks ago when we had the hellacious wind event all over pretty much Nevada, it appeared. The water tank that's being constructed, tank one up there, did suffer a little bit of damage. It appeared that there was probably a gust that hit that thing pretty hard and heavy about 10:20 in the evening on that Tuesday night. It did buckle a small section of the first ring. We met with the principals of RDC the following afternoon on site. Austin also attended that meeting, and we were assured that it was fixable, and actually within a couple of days, it was amazing what they were able to accomplish. We did have to cut out maybe an 8x8 section on that bottom ring that they'll replace with a new panel there. As we speak, the roof rafter system is going in now, then they can get that roof panels in place. And as you're well aware, we've been fortunate that we've had pretty decent weather, sunshine, so that makes the job a little bit easier. And I will point out that they did have that tank tied off, they had it all cabled off, anticipating the wind event, but it actually picked up one of the 2x2x5 blocks there. They weigh about 3,500 pounds and moved it probably about 3 feet. So it was quite interesting. But anyway, we're all back on track, so that's a good thing. And basically, that's all I have, unless either yourself or Lance has a question. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm going to defer to Lance first if he has any questions.
No questions. Thank you, Mike.
All right. I don't have any questions, Mike, but I was going to ask about the water tank. I noticed that last week, so I'm glad that's all sorted out. Thank you.
You betcha. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. I have nothing today.
All right. Thank you. Let's move on to the fire department. And then on today.
Good morning, Mr. Acting Chair for the Vice Chairman. For the record, Jeff Jones, Secretary of Fire Chief. I have nothing to report today.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the Assessor's Office. Is there anything today?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's move on to the Recorder's Office.
Good morning. Nothing to report today.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to the HR Department.
Good morning. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
Thank you. going on down the list, we have Community Relations. Anything today, Laura?
From the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office that we have been granted a Historic Preservation Fund grant. This is a grant that comes from the National Park Service and comes down through SHPO to local counties. The grant total is $32,082. The grant match has been waived, so there will be nothing out of the county's pocket for this. The grant will cover updating Story County's survey of buildings located within the Comstock Historic District, that section of the Comstock Historic District that is located in Story County. Story County is a certified local government. The Certified Local Government Program is a partnership program between the National Park Service, the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office, and local governments to support and strengthen historic districts. So part of being a certified local government is to have an updated survey of the buildings located within that district. One of the positive or one of the benefits of being a certified local government is grants. So we do receive quite a few grants that are because we are a certified local government. So this is pretty important to us. We will be working closely with SHPO through this grant process. It will start in the spring, and we're going to have 4 graduate students that will be handling this survey for us. And the really cool thing about this is that Virginia City will not only be known for being a tourist destination, but we are also an educational destination. So these graduate students will be able to work within the community in the real thing. As we all know, we have a wonderful area of very prominent historic buildings. So not only will the graduate students be able to work amongst these buildings, but we are partnering with St. Mary's Art Center, and the graduate students will get to stay at St. Mary's Art Center for the 4 weeks that we are here. So we'd like to thank them for that. They've been very generous. The grant will cover, will give St. Mary's Art Center, frankly, a little teeny tiny bit of money that's basically just going to cover the cost of having the graduate students there, like, you know, water and use of the kitchen. And that kind of stuff. Part of the project also, we will be working with Progress Engineering, and we will be making an addition to our GIS so that as the students go through the community and are recording these buildings, it will all be added into our existing GIS system. And that's the end of my report, unless anybody has any questions on that grant for me.
Thank you. Lance, do you have anything tonight?
No question, Jerry. Thank you.
All right, nor do I. thank you again for that report, Barb. We'll move on to the planning department. Is there anything from planning today? I'll take that as a no. We'll move on to the senior center with Stacey Yorkson.
Yes, good morning, Stacey York for the record. Just one quick update. We are going to have the food bank mobile harvest out in the parking lot on D Street and St. Mile Canyon from 10 to 11 on December 15th. That's open to the public who needs fresh produce or fresh dairy, fresh meat sometimes. So stop by and pick up some food if needed.
Great. Thank you very much. Lance, do you have any questions?
No, thank you.
All right, nor do I. we'll go with Joe Curtis, Emergency Management.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, appreciate the opportunity to give you some overview of what we've been dealing with. As usual, the status of the COVID factors in the county have some interesting turns to them. You all saw the big spike last week with the Quad County new cases, where they received 164, I think it was, cases into the Quad County as a whole. Of that, we received 22 new cases. The reason we had that sudden spike like that has to do with the backlog of testing capability that suddenly kind of the dam kind of went loose, and we get that report of so many all at one time. So that took us up to a total of 51 cases since March 1st. Since that time, as of this morning, we received another 4 new cases through the over the weekend, so forth, from last Wednesday, actually. So we now have a total of 55 cases for Story County. The total for the Quad County, with all 4 counties for since March, is 4,314 cases. There's currently 262 cases that are active, and 2,219 are recovered. The 14-day test positivity rate in Nevada has climbed up a bit, but it is in reference to our area of Nevada anyway, but not a major problem apparently at this point in time. One of the problems that we have with the statistic factor is that we now only receive a number of new cases. So in other words, they'll say you have 3 new cases for today or 1 new case for today. We do not get the addresses like we used to get. And that has to do, again, with the backlog and the massive number of tests that are being done, and the backlog of tracking that they have to do, and creates a problem for them to be able to put all the extra information together. So as a result of the fact that we get no specific addresses, Chief Devon has required universal precautions on all fire department EMS responses to medical calls. So we have to basically assume that any house we go to is a possible active COVID case. So to protect the personnel, that those universal precautions have been put into place. As a result of just getting numbers and due to the large number of cases, we're not able to track areas in the county where the cases are located. The cases get attached to zip codes to a great degree. So you have to remember that Mark Twain, Lockwood, and the BC Highlands all have zip codes that are attached to other counties. Washoe, Lyon County, and that sort of thing. So, therefore, we have no way of knowing via the zip codes how many are in our county in those particular zip code areas, as they all get lumped into the other counties. So, I mean, if we had some cases in Lockwood, we may not know how many there are, because it will be tracked into the zip code without the address. It'll get zapped into the zip code for the Sparks, Marshall County area. So that's one of the problems that we are dealing with, trying to track the various cases that we know are in the county. I believe that all personnel of the county at least have received the listing from County Manager Osborne of all of the procedures that have been put into place within county government to work with and enhance the governor's requests. It's quite lengthy, as I'm sure you have seen, to try to make sure that we're doing the best possible way that we can to stem the COVID spreading through within our county area. COVID testing sites, will be continuing. We have 3 this month. The first one will be tomorrow, December 2nd, at the Public Works Building, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Excuse me, that's from noon to 2 p.m. From noon to 2 p.m. tomorrow at the Public Works. On Wednesday, December 16th, we'll be going back to Lockwood again from noon to 2. And then on December 30th, we'll be back up here in BC at Public Works again from noon till 2 p.m. That allows anyone from any one of the 4 counties to be tested at our site. So we do get a fair amount of people coming in from the other counties. Now, due to the general weather conditions that we suffer from in the wintertime on the Comstock primarily, they developed a need to have some sheltered environments for the COVID testing staff, we have moved all Story County testing to Virginia City. not all, excuse me, but primarily the BC Highlands, the BC area, and Mark Twain area will all basically have to come into BC for their testing. So we require a quick space container building to shelter the nursing staff, the paperwork staff from the Quad County Health, from the weather. And so the papers all stay on the table, and they don't get rained on, and don't get scattered snow showers on them, and so forth. We think that'll work quite well. We put that into place yesterday, and it'll be ready for functioning by tomorrow morning. So the Jeep Posse personnel will continue to assist us with setup and traffic control matters, and as always, they are virtually invaluable with helping us. The last session that we had 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, we had 196 people come through the test site at the senior center here in town. And it would have been almost impossible to accomplish that. It would have been a giant mess had we not had staff from the Chief Posse to help us with traffic control matters. We move on to vaccinations. And we're working with the Quad County Health and Human Services on a vaccination plan for Story County. As I'm sure you've seen on TV, there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty on the rolling out of the vaccination program. We've been required to collect information numbers and from all of the public safety, sheriff, and fire personnel, so that they will be under the first tier to receive vaccinations as soon as we get them become available. Then tier two would be other essential workers, and tier three is the general public, which probably will not be until I would estimate somewhere in the neighborhood of March, later February, March, before we. That's just an optimal guess on my part. We of course don't have any care facilities for county, which we would have to deal with, which is what would also fall in the tier one section. So again, the governor's edict to remind everyone is that a face mask covering mouth and nose, social distancing, smaller groups, avoid crowds, wash your hands, use sanitizer, avoid touching your face, and that sort of thing. We're still at this point within that 3 week stay home phase that you requested. So that means private gatherings of 10 or fewer and no more than two households in a private gathering. Public gatherings, just go to 50, a maximum of 50 people, or 25% of the capacity, whichever is less. And all other facilities, buildings, what have you, are 25% of the capacity. And with that would be the end of my report. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you for that, Joe. Lance, you have any questions for Joe?
Not this morning, thank you, Jay.
All right, and neither do I. due to time constraints, we're going to have to move to item number 14, and then we will come back and revisit staff reports. So let us go ahead and take care of item number 14. consideration and possible approval of determination that continuation of the infrastructure tax is necessary for continued funding of infrastructure projects, and if that determination is made possible, approval of setting a public hearing to consider a new infrastructure tax expenditure plan for 10:30 a.m. on December 15th at the Story County Courthouse, located at 26 South B Street in Virginia City, Nevada. Austin, would you like to take this?
I'm not going to take it. Keith Lewis, our council, is on. I want to make sure. I think it's 10:25, as close as that is to 10:30. Keith, is that going to be an issue when we hear this exactly at 10:30?
We should hear it at 10:30 in case anybody wanted to come between now and 10:30 to hear, participate in the hearing.
All right. So you want to do one more staff report? They got 4 minutes.
Sounds good. Yes.
All right. How about the Public Works? Anybody on Public Works today? Nothing from Public Works. How about communications?
communications director is out at the moment, not able to join, but I'd like to speak on his behalf on some things he shared with me.
Go for it.
Some of the stuff our IT folks around me may want to discuss, but Dave Ballard is and keeping me apprised on the status of the 911 dispatch center at the bank building. The place is looking great. All the equipment, furniture, wireless communication material is in there. The vault is full of very interesting tech equipment, and that thing is slated to be on target. If it misses the target by a few weeks, we have a backup plan with other folks who will get that finished, and it'll be up and running in January. Thank you.
Great. Lance, you have any questions for Austin?
No questions, thank you.
All right, me either. Let us, so a couple minutes to burn, let's jump to IT. Anything from IT today? All right, let's move on to anything from the Justice Court. Nothing. How about VCTC might take a while. How about from the clerk today? Anything?
Good morning. Just a quick reminder that the DMV here in Virginia City is closed. We're hoping to get that reopened after the holidays. And swearing in ceremony for our newly elected officials has been set for January 4th at 3 o'clock. Judge Russell will be overseeing that. That is it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And Vanessa, is that a swearing in session? Is the obviously the public's not allowed for that, but it'll be broadcast via Zoom?
Correct. That's the plan for right now.
Okay. Lance, do you have any questions for Vanessa?
Is that actually going to be a live meeting in the courthouse, Vanessa, or will it be on Zoom?
The swearing in portion will be live. Judge Russell will be on site, but the regular meeting we'll do over Zoom. So that we don't get too many people in here.
Thank you very much.
All right, I'll go back to planning. We've got just another minute or so. Is there anything for planning today?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, great. No, I don't have any items today except the item later on. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, so we're at 10:29. Is there any maybe any updates from legal?
I have nothing to offer today, Commissioner. Thank you.
All right. You could have said that a little slower during this about 30 seconds, but that'll work. County Manager Osborne, did you have anything? Or should we save it for afterwards?
If you'd like to save me for the end, I'd be okay with that, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
I can say that before if you like to.
You're good. Is there anybody that I missed or I forgot to call on today, aside from the VCTC and the county manager? All right. It is officially 10:30, so let's move on to item number 14. Again, this is discussion and for possible action. So consideration and possible approval of determination that continuation of the infrastructure tax is necessary for continued funding of infrastructure projects, and if that determination is made possible, approval of setting a public hearing to consider a new infrastructure tax expenditure plan for 10:30 a.m. on December 15, 2020 at the Story County Courthouse, located at 26 South P Street in Virginia City, Nevada.
Mr. Chairman, the infrastructure tax is a tax consisting of a 0.25% tax on the sale of personal property within the county. Tax has been in existence since about 2008. It was last addressed in 2014 when a new plan for expenditure of the infrastructure tax revenues was adopted. For the most part, that plan has been completed. I would defer to Jennifer McCain as to the exact status of all the things on that infrastructure plan, but to a large extent, it's been completed. The tax expires in 2024, But prior to that time, if we're going to consider adopting a new plan, the board needs to make a determination that the continued existence of that tax is necessary. And if that determination is made, then the matter needs to be set for a hearing to consider the adoption of a new plan. Now, in item 15, there is the first reading of the continuation of that infrastructure tax. And that that ordinance has a proposed plan in place, which is not been adopted by anybody at this point. That the adoption of the new plan would occur at the hearing that we tentatively have scheduled for December 15th. So right now, the question before the board is the continued existence of the infrastructure tax, the necessity of that continued existence, along with, if that determination is made, then setting the date for a public hearing on the adoption of a possible plan for December 15th.
All right. Did Jennifer from the Comptroller's Office want to chime in on where we're at with that?
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to comment that on a plan that was approved in 2014, a number of these items have been completed and taken off. A few other items, specifically marketing flood control and some road repairs, we feel that after 6 years, these just needed to be updated with prices and project plans. So that led up to wanting to update the entire plan and add two new projects to the infrastructure plan.
Okay. So basically, according to your office, there's still a need for this tax, at least until 2024.
Yes, we feel that there are several items on the county CIT that would benefit from being in the construction fund.
Okay. Is there anything you want to chime in on, Austin, regarding this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's pretty much said already, and I'm not sure if I heard Jennifer say about the Justice Center that's being required by the district court. Was to construct and also be used for these funds. Is that correct? Jennifer?
Yes, the Justice Center is one of the major items for being in the new plan.
All right. Do we want to go to public comment on this item for reaching out to commissioners?
Yes, we do.
All right, so if anybody has any public comment regarding the infrastructure tax, now is your time. Last call for public comment. All right. Commissioner Gilman, I'll yield to you first. Do you have any comments or questions?
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Nor do I at this time. Since there's no public comments, maybe Lance would like to entertain a motion.
It looks to me like I'm going to clear this with Keith, but I'm going to be reading the motion on item 15, correct? Which is the consideration and possible approval of the first reading of that ordinance. Item 15?
No, the motion would be on item 14.
All right, and so on item 14, we're going to consider the possible determination, continuation, and the public meeting, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So, Jay, I, Commissioner Lance Gilman, hereby move to make the determination that continuation of the infrastructure tax is necessary, and further move to set December the 15th, 2020, at 10:30 a.m. at the Story County Courthouse, located at 26 South B Street in Virginia City, Nevada, as the date, place, and time for a public hearing on the consideration and possible adoption of a new plan for the expenditure of infrastructure tax revenues.
All right, so I have a motion and I will second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right, thank you very much. Let us go back to item number Okay.
Part of this will be, I'll give an update on my chart. Just that ACTC is working real hard to try to balance the needs of our businesses and the needs of the community during COVID. And essentially, they have canceled all events and gone to essentially advertising that Virginia City is still open for business. People will come up and advertising those businesses is open, but not advertising major events and or anything like that. So a lot of energy is going into trying to promote local small businesses without bringing large crowds of people to town and staying in conformance with the governor's directive and keeping our community safe. That's all.
Thank you, Austin. Lance, do you have any questions for Austin?
I do not. I'm just sad for all of us that that our economy is in such a tragic state at this point. We can only do what we can do. So I wish the best to everybody. All of us are holding on as best we can in this uncertain time, but I'm certainly sensitive to the tragedy that's happening out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Austin, I do have a question. I guess it wasn't clear in the recent post. So is the Parade of Lights still happening?
No.
For Christmas, so that is off. There's no cruise or anything that takes place?
No, there will be no parade or no cruise. Danny is showing that there will be a fireworks show. We don't expect that will be bringing large numbers of people. Part of that is really we have these fireworks. They need to be used. They were not used during the 4th of July. Part of it is for the local community as well as visitors. To just get something for the Christmas season. We are encouraging people to watch that from, you know, spread apart and whatever. But nevertheless, with the time of year, the season, and the weather, we don't expect that to bring in any crops.
All right. Thank you. And while you've got a hot mic, do you have the county manager's update for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sure. Just a couple things I'll talk about. One thing that needs to be done is we did bring in a new company out of Troy. There's about four others that are exploring properties to locate. Chisholm Krupp is a company that makes very large, they remanufacture, refurbish very large mining and milling equipment, about 10,000 square foot facility. They'll be built at Miles Construction. They're expecting to break ground in January. So that's pretty exciting. We've been working with that company for the last few months, and they seem to be really a great team. Going on to just a list of things, I've sent out a post to the public. There are some inquiries asking, you know, what's the county doing to mitigate COVID and to, address the governor's orders and keep us safe. So that post gets a few of these things. Most of them are sent out to Curtis and Laura regarding emergency management, coordinating with the Crowdfunding Coalition and Health Coalition, so I'm not going to repeat that. I did talk a little bit about what the BCTC is doing as well. I won't repeat that. We are assisting businesses with their opening plans to try to keep them open and safe. Some of those include in-person visits with them and help guide them through that process. Stacy York and Laura and others and Eric Schoen for Community Chest are doing Meals on Wheels and other meal programs for people throughout the county so they don't have to leave their homes. Especially for vulnerable populations and seniors. As far as the county offices go, we are on an amended operation right now to keep county offices open for the public under all circumstances, including for what may come with some COVID problems after the holidays. So where some of us are working remote, there's all different types of things happening. Offices have purchased a lot of things like plexiglass, face masks, PPE, and other ways to keep their staff safe and keep us open. And so we are working in that mode right now. We kind of call it phase one mode with the county. All offices are still open for county businesses, and most services are still operational, except for those like we're mentioning with DMV and certain things like that in the courts. Not speaking on behalf of Jeff Nevin, but there's a significant amount of CARES money going into retrofitting ambulances so that they're COVID ready. Some of this has already happened. And in the fire district, under Chief Nevin's leadership, is not only well prepared for COVID, but they're fully trained and fully equipped and operated to be able to respond to COVID calls as well as other calls that might have COVID involved in them. Belfour has done fumigation of several buildings, sometimes more than once. There is a positive case or an alleged positive case or a situation that could expose our employees or the public. We have a program in place when we come and have the building fumigated and treated, and there's residual treatment that lasts for quite a long time where if somebody were to come into a building and cough or touch surfaces, that material kills COVID even after the treatment. There's a PPE bank being put together by Joe Laura. There's a lot of details to come on that, so I don't want to speak too much of it. But we're stockpiling resources that can be used for our small businesses in the county, henceforth. So when they need to have mitigation, that material will be available for them at no cost. The community chest, don't know what we do without them, providing food, social services, K-12, and I think they do infant programs and senior programs, healthcare programs, they run errands, they provide prescription errands, everything you can think of, including that counseling and things like that for kids and teenagers and others that need it during these hard times. And then, of course, there's the care of business grants that Laura's going to talk about later in the agenda, putting in $10,000 and $20,000 in reimbursements for these small businesses for expenses related to COVID. The major program as a grant has also been part of this, and maybe more. Anybody's got questions, they can call the COVID hotline. Of course, they're welcome to call any of us on our team, including myself, if they want to talk about any of these matters. So, thank you.
Thank you. Lance, do you have any questions for Austin?
I do not. Thank you.
All right, nor do I.
Person is still on. I think Eric Schoen was trying to pop in here for the community chest. He's having some technical difficulty.
Are you guys able to hear me?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that, guys. The first time I've bumped in versus on my computer, so there's a learning curve apparently. But thank you, Dave, with your office report. I'll just sort of pull some highlights that I want to bring your attention to. One, that we have holiday baskets, food baskets available for Christmas season as well. I have to give some kudos to the Thanksgiving baskets to both the senior center and the schools. Specifically, the elementary school kids were able to fundraise 800 cans of sides for us that will help complement meals for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the leadership team at the middle school helped put the boxes together. So Thanksgiving was truly a group effort. All three of those different entities, the school, the senior center, and community chest, are all working together, trading turkeys and sides. And I really want to say thank you to both of those partners. Without their help, this would not have happened at all. So if somebody needs a food box coming up for Christmas, there's no wrong place to reach out. I know Stacey's taking the names. We are as well. But we'll make sure somebody gets something. Along that same note, we have our annual tree program up. Don't know exactly how it's going to go this year, because normally we have a tree in several different locations, but we still have an annual tree program. So if somebody wants to adopt an angel, we have angels to be adopted. And if somebody wants to refer somebody or wants to put themselves on the angel tree, all they have to do is reach out to the community chest, and they will make sure that happens. Moving on, we have received quite a few significant donations from Zoo Lily in terms of clothes. So what we're doing is transforming the upstairs library space, because we can't really use it due to COVID at this point in time. We will be transforming the upstairs library space into a sort of closed closet. People can come up and get warm jackets and things of that sort. So if somebody is needing a warm clothing item, they just need, again, to stop by or reach out, and we'll make sure they have the chance to go through those clothes. Our early childhood education program is continuing. I was stopped by there the other day. We have 17 or 18 kiddos. Still trying to do the best that we can social distancing. So far, we haven't had COVID transmissions amongst the families of the kids. The program, knock on wood, that will continue. And then we are continuing our before and after school program as long as we can. We're sort of following the school what happens statewide and locally. There's pendulum so far, we have a lot of them went out to school program. And I was remiss a while ago, I didn't thank Public Waste Commissioner Billman for helping to support the Hillside program. He gave a nice donation that helped us to underwrite costs of continuing the Hillside program. So thank you, Commissioner Billman, for that. And with that, that's my report. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Eric. Commissioner Billman, do you have anything for Eric?
I absolutely do not, except what a wonderful job they're doing during this trying time at this point. And they're keeping all the bills on the buggy, and they're to be congratulated for the extra effort. So, Eric, thank you for all you do work.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Eric. I'm going to do one last final call. There's any departments that I missed. Now is your chance to speak up. All right, with that said, we're going to move on to item number 7, which is board comments. Commissioner Gilman, do you have anything today?
I have nothing today, thank you, Jay, very much.
All right, I just want to chime in. You know, I know there are a lot of folks that donate and do things for the community, you know, behind the scenes, and they don't get any credit for it. I did just want to say something that could be was that I was contacted by a Virginia City Highlands resident, and they put together several gift cards, if I'm not mistaken. There were 6 of them at $50 increments. This person wanted to remain anonymous, but I just wanted to point out that, amidst all of the bad news we've been hearing for the last 9 months, there are definitely some folks out there trying to do their part. And while I'm not going to say their name, I did just want to point out that, those gift cards did go to some needy folks within the community. And I would like to thank the Senior Center of Virginia City for helping disperse that. So it was just nice to, see folks still caring when a lot of folks have been looking out for themselves over the last 9 months. So I just want to say thank you. And with that, we're done on board comments. We're going to move on to item number 8. And that's going to be a recess at the BNS Story County Water Sewer Board. And that brings us to item number 9. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the USDA amended letter of conditions for the Golddale Sewer Project for additional USDA grant funds in the amount of $115,000 to be provided for the completion of this project. We're going to go to Mike on this one.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Loud here.
Thank you. Mike Nevin for the record again. This is action, but the board for acceptance of the additional grant funds from USDA in the amount of $115,000 to be used for the completion of the Gold Hill Wastewater Project following the bid opening that was held on November 4th, the determination was made due to the circumstances that were beyond our control with the low bid that there would have been a shortfall in funding for the project. Lucas Tipton at Far West had discussions with USDA regarding the predicament, and they were able to let us know that they, in fact, had $115,000 of additional grant funding that they would make available to the project if they, in fact, received concurrence from the National Office in Washington, D.C. They did receive the concurrence rather quickly. The National Office concurred, and USDA issued Story County the amended letter of conditions on November 12th that includes the additional funding of that grant money in the amount of $115,000. That's pretty much it for a quick staff report, unless you have questions of me. I see you on the line too. So.
I have no question. I, unfortunately, when things pop up in projects, but some of the unknowns are impossible to get ahead of, so I do understand and thank you for the report, please.
You are right. And before we move on, was there anything that Mr. Tipton wanted to chime in about? Or is he just here with any additional questions?
I'm not here for additional questions, but maybe three items that might be of interest compared to what will be estimated at the beginning of the project versus the bid prices. I think there were a little higher cost, about $73,000 in the building, but that also to maintain the historical look and feel the property. The concrete slab came in at $1,400 per cubic yard when we estimated $900, and earthwork came in higher at $60 per cubic yard instead of the $20. One of the specifics about why some of those costs were a little higher.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Tipton. I don't have any comments or questions, so if the Commissioner Governor would like to entertain us with a motion.
The one thing, if I may interject real quick, Commissioner. I noticed the chairman is not present. I was wondering on the motion if we need to amend the motion to allow for the vice chairman to sign the documents that are required. Maybe Keith can chime in.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate, yes.
All right. And before we move on to the motion, I realize that we've got to take some public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this motion or this item? All right, no public comment. So, Commissioner Gilman, would you like to entertain us with the motion today? Lance, you're on mute.
Well, I had one pretty good for a minute, Jay. I have to go with a motion to approve USDA amended letter of conditions for additional USDA grant funds in the amount of $115,000 for the Gold Hill Sewer Project and allow Vice Chairman Carmona to sign in the absence of Committee Chairman McBride all necessary related forms and documents that may be required by the USDA for acceptance of these grant funds.
All right, we have a motion and I will second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes, thank you. We're gonna move on to item number 10. This one is consideration and possible approval of rejection of the low bid and approval of the next lowest bid submitted for construction of the Gold Hill Wastewater Treatment Plant project. Is this all here? Are you, Mike?
I'll start out here. Again, Mike Nevin for the record. I assume you can hear me. Yes. Okay.
Very good. Very good.
Okay, so we conducted the bid opening for the Gold Hill Wastewater Project on November 4th at the Office of Far West in Reno. Myself and Jason from the county were in attendance during that time. We did receive three bids, three different contractors. A low bid from F&P Construction of $879,948. The next lowest was Sierra Nevada Construction, $1,098,007. And the high bid from MKD Construction, $1,447,707. Upon review, which takes a little bit of time to go through, it was unfortunate that the bid received from Lister Pitts at F&P Construction was unresponsive in many different areas.
There is a letter in the packet there that explains the different areas. And because we are using federal and state loan and grant funds for the project, we cannot, through contract documents, waive these as minor irregularities. Therefore, we made the determination and Keith Loomis has reviewed too that the bid, unfortunately, is unresponsive. So just a little background there. So moving on to the next lowest bid submitted by Sierra Nevada Construction. It has been determined that this bid is responsive in all respects. Due diligence check has been completed. All systems are a go. That's quite a process. And we did receive concurrence from USDA as well as the State Office of Financial Assistance that they're in agreement with the recommendation that we reject the low bid and in turn approve the second lowest bid and award the contract to SNC Construction Reno, Nevada. That's kind of the little bit of down and dirty of it. We have all the information as well. So Lucas is here, and Keith and Austin. So if you have any questions of any of us.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any public comment regarding this item? I don't see any public comments. Commissioner Gilman, did you have any questions?
You know, I don't have any questions, but I'm encouraged that we're competitive bidding. I think this is the right way to go. It's unfortunate when a bid has to be in proper form and that we're not able to utilize this the lower cost, but the program must be followed appropriately. Mike, thank you for that. And I'm prepared to support this motion.
All right. Mike, I just had a question for you. I assume SNC is ready to hit the ground running. There's going to be no major delays to this project.
Now, once you've made the approval, signed the needed documents, we do have to get those documents down to SNC for their signature. Then the packet has to be submitted to USDA for concurrence. They'll issue their recommendation of concurrence. Keith Loomis will then be required to sign some forms relative to performance and contract bonds. So it takes a little bit of time, but we'll keep the wheels in motion like we've been doing. We hope we can get that all done within a relatively short period of time. Maybe, I'm not going to say by the end of the week, but maybe for sure by the end of next week. So that would be wonderful. It's you know, long overdue. We need to get this project going quickly.
I agree. Okay, so at least it's not going to be, you know, about a month or anything like that, right? You know,
I would hope. But I would hope not.
Commissioner, come on up. Commissioner, that's it. Carmona left you over here. I noted this recommended motion once again, the approval of Chairman McBride is requested. And so for Keith Loomis, are we needing to revise that?
Yes, well, let's do it. Yeah, Keith was here. Yes, let's do that. Make the same amendment as we did on the last one.
Thank you.
Fair enough. All right. So, seeing as there's no public comments, Mr. Gilman, you want to entertain a motion?
I do. Thank you. I, Lance Gilman, motion to approve the rejection of the low bid of $879,984 submitted by M&P Construction following review to be determined as unresponsive in accordance with the terms of the bid documents pursuant to NRS 388.143.5 A, and motion to be
approved is the next lowest bid of $1,098,007 from Sierra Nevada Construction, found to be in compliance with the requirements and terms of the low bid forms, and therefore determined to be the responsive low bid and provide for the approval of Vice Chairman Carmona to sign all contract documents approving the award of the bid.
All right, I have a motion and I will second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Thank you. We're going to move on to item number 11, which is to recess and to reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. That brings us to item number 12. This one is discussion for possible action, consideration, and possible approval to reimburse the Story County Senior Center an amount not to exceed $27,000 for costs directly related to the COVID-19 pandemic from March 1st, 2020 to December 30, 2020. The funds would be reimbursed from Story County's allocation of CARES Act funds. And this one goes to Laura.
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Laura, another for the record. So as you can imagine, this pandemic has hit the Senior Center pretty hard. They've had to stop congregate lunches, do the drive-through lunches, pay for items such as the disposable containers that are used for those drive-through lunches. They've had to obviously increase their cleaning. They've had to keep themselves safe through social distancing, moving their offices around a little bit, those kind of things. And as we know, what they do is vital to the community. And the costs are allowed under in the guidelines for this under Section 4. States expenses of actions to facilitate compliance with COVID-19 related to public health measures. Subsection A, food access and delivery to residents, including senior citizens and other vulnerable populations. The funds are available in our CARES Act allotment, and we are allowed to grant those funds to nonprofits that are managing programs that would otherwise have to be owned by the county. So, for example, if the Senior Center didn't exist, the county would be responsible for those services that they provide.
All right. We have any public comment regarding this? No public comment. I'm going to move on to Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any questions for Laura?
No question.
All right. I don't have any questions either. Commissioner Gilman, do you want to entertain a motion?
Please. I, Commissioner Lance Gilman, move to approve the reimbursement of an amount not to exceed $27,000 to the Story County Senior Center for costs directly related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The funds will be reimbursed from Story County's allocation of CARES Act funds upon the receipt of all invoices and proof of payment by the Story County Senior Center.
All right, I have a motion and I will second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes. We are going to move on to item number 13. This is consideration and possible approval to grant the Story County businesses who have been awarded funds through the CARES Act a second grant of equal value. The second award will bring the total funds awarded to $260,000. We're back to you, Laura.
We are. Thank you again for the record.
All right.
So the business grant opened on September 8th with an initial closing date of October 16th. At that time, the grants were $1,500 for businesses with 1 to 4 employees, $3,000 for businesses with 5 to 9 employees. At the third week of September, we raised that amount to $3,000 and $5,000 respectively. During the grant process, we worked with grant strategies to get the word out to all of the businesses as best we can. Word of mouth, just telling everybody about the grant. I know the VCTC passed out flyers, walked around and passed out flyers to all the businesses. Myself and Henny Tapley responded to every phone call that businesses had, any questions, any concerns that they might have had through the process, because, you know, frankly, a lot of people have never applied for grants before. We made sure that each applicant was aware of the resources that were available, including ourselves to help walk them through the process, and also the Nevada Small Business Development Center. The first deadline of October 16th was then extended to October 29th. At that time, we raised the grant amounts to $5,000 for 1 to 4 employees, $10,000 for 5 to 9 employees. That second deadline of October 29th was then extended again. So the last extension was to November 13th was then the deadline. At that time, we also added a category of businesses from 10 to 15 employees could apply for a grant for $10,000. Because we were working jointly with other counties in Nevada, so basically all of the counties worked to get together under one grant platform. Because of that, the final deadline of November 13th could not be extended. With the final closing date and the funds available, we will be granting the 22 businesses that applied for the initial grant, basically a second allotment of the same amount. This is not free money, it's grant monies. Each business had to provide us invoices for every single cent and show that it was directly related to the COVID-19 pandemic and their response. So again, with that second allotment of disbursement of funds, we will be granting 22 businesses within Story County a total of $260,000.
Great. Is there, if you're all done, Laura, I'm going to take public comment. Is there any public comment on this? Seeing as there's no public comments, Commissioner Gilman, did you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. I do not have questions either, so we will move on to entertaining a motion.
I have Gilman move to approve the granting of additional funds to Story County businesses who have applied for and been approved an award of the CARES Act Small Business Grant Fund.
All right, we have a motion, and I will second. All those in favor? Aye. All right, motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Let's move on to item number 14, consideration and possible approval of determination that continuation of the infrastructure tax is necessary. We've already taken care of this, my apologies. We will move on to item number 15. Consideration and possible approval of first reading of Ordinance 20-317 regarding allocation of infrastructure tax revenues on infrastructure project within the county pursuant to an adopted plan of expenditure.
Mr. Chairman, this is Bill number 128, Ordinance number 20-317, in which the title states that it is an ordinance amending Story County Code Section 3.12.012, updating the plan of projects for the proceeds of the infrastructure tax and providing for other matters properly related thereto. So this is proposed that the plan that as to how the infrastructure tax revenues will be allocated pursuant to a new plan, which will be heard on December 15th at this point, and that will be incorporated into the ordinance, which is why we have the ordinance before you today. This is the first reading of that ordinance. Now, in the action item, Vanessa Stevens asked that we include in the motions the date for the second hearing on the ordinance, and so what we want to do is have that second hearing on December 15th following the hearing on the allocation of the infrastructure tax revenues.
Okay. Are we going to get anything from county manager or
Keith Loomis explained it quite well. I'm happy to answer any questions that happen to come about. I also think it's important during the first part of this we talked about last time, when Jennifer came to discuss and updating that plan of changing the capital improvement plan to integrate into this to be consistent with 2020 and 2021.
All right. Thank you very much, Austin. I'm going to move on to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin or Keith?
No questions.
All right. And I do not have any questions either. Would you like to entertain a motion for this, Commissioner?
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Lance Gilman, hereby approve the first reading of the Ordinance 20-317, providing for the allocation of infrastructure tax revenues to the infrastructure projects in Story County to be considered in the public meeting scheduled for December the 15th.
All right. There's a motion, and I will second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Motion passes. Thank you, Lance. Item number 16 has been removed and postponed for our next meeting. So let's move on to item number 17, a consideration and possible action on the business impact statement for the proposed diesel tax ordinance, bill number 123, ordinance number 20-316.
Good morning, Mayor. Mr. Chairman, or Vice Chairman. This is Robert Morris for the record. I will be presenting this with Austin, and if it's okay, I'll just start out with a little bit of history. This matter is a business impact statement prepared by staff as to whether this proposed ordinance is going to have a significant economic impact on people. And so the process is that you develop the impact statement, you make it available, it's been sent to the Nevada Trucking Association and any business selling diesel. So the Board of County Commissioners on November 17th introduced the business impact statement and approved the first reading of the ordinance to impose a diesel tax in the amount of 5 cents per gallon. The material that was attached included the draft business impact statement and the ordinance. The public hearing on this matter was set for December 1st, and part of that was to be able to consider any comments made from potentially affected businesses and whether to approve the business impact statement. Now, I talked with the clerk, and Vanessa said that she had not received any comments back. And so based on that, there's a section in the NRS that deals with this issue, and if I could just read it briefly. If the governing body or designee does not receive any data or arguments from a trade association or owners or officers of businesses that were notified pursuant to subsection 1, within the period specified in the notification, a rebuttable presumption is created that the proposed rule will not impose a direct or a significant economic burden upon business or directly restrict the formation, operation, of expansion of a business. And so the matter that's before the board today is the business impact statement, which is required to be done before the ordinance increasing the diesel fuel tax can be approved. So the matter today is by the staff findings that there is no significant burden on the business directly, or that it would directly restrict the formation, operation, or expansion of a business. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer it. Otherwise, I'd recommend the motion that's in the packet.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Morris. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Good morning. This is Paul Enos with the Nevada Trucking Association. How are you?
Doing well.
And I just wanted to say we agree with the business impact statement. This tax is not going to have any detrimental impact on businesses. In fact, we supported the Nevada Trucking Association Senate Bill 48 that allows the rural counties to do what the two urban counties are already doing, and that is taxing diesel to pay for roads and infrastructure. We actually like what is in this provision better than what we have in the two urban counties, because it does provide for those counties that sell more than $10 million gallons of diesel fuel a year, that revenue will go to pay for truck parking, which we know is a significant issue. We know that truck parking, trucks are a big part of what's going on in Story County right now with what you guys have done in terms of economic development. So we're supportive of you moving this major forward and appreciate the opportunity to speak for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment regarding this item? Going once, going twice. All right. There's no public comment. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions?
Do not, thank you.
All right, I do not either. Mr. Gilman, would you like to present a motion for us, please?
I would, thank you. I believe this is the one that Mr. Morris was asking for. Based on staff's finding of no significant business impact, I move to approve the business impact statement determining the diesel tax ordinance does not impose a direct and significant economic burden on a business or directly restrict the formation, operation, or expansion of a business.
All right, there's a motion. I will second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate Mr. Enos being here. I believe item number 18 is going to be continued to December 15th. So we're going to move on to item number 19, which is consideration and possible approval of the first reading of Bill 124, Ordinance 20-313, text amendments to Story County Code Title 16, subdivisions and Title 17 zoning ordinances, specifically sections 16.20.010 and 17.03.230, to modify language that allows for a third-party review of planned unit development and subdivision applications, including that the cost for such third-party review be paid by the applicant.
Good morning. This is Kathy Canfield for the record. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, good morning, Kathy.
Okay, good. I've had technical difficulties here this morning. So this is the first reading for this ordinance to amend Title 16 and 17 that are related to allowing for a third-party review for planned unit developments and for subdivision applications. The idea for this is that if we received a large planned unit development or a large subdivision application, that we would like the ability to utilize the expertise of a third-party review, not only just for help in the review, but also if they have some areas of specialties that they may be able to look at that maybe staff doesn't have that expertise. The applicant would be paying for the third-party review, and the deadlines in the review process would remain the same. So this isn't slowing down any type of process that we already have. We follow the NRS deadlines for when projects are brought forward to the Planning Commission and the board, so none of that would be changing with this review. On the November 5th, 2020 Planning Commission meeting, we had a discussion about this. They had questions about that timing and about the appeals process if an applicant has a concern about the cost. We have in our administrative provisions in Chapter 17.03 an appeal process. So if somebody did not agree with the third-party review fee, then we would follow that process for that. And then the Planning Commission ended up voting 7-0 in favor of recommending approval of the proposed changes. So I can answer any questions. Bob Morris has been a very good help on this with staff, and he's also, I believe, still on the line. So we can answer any questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? I don't see anybody interested in public comments, so Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this?
We do a motion on this. I believe that the ordinance has to be read by title. I don't actually have a copy of it, so if Kathy could just read the title of the ordinance into the record.
All right. Kathy, let's go to questions first.
Okay.
And then if there's no question, I'll have you read that. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
I do not. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Neither do I. So, Kathy, go ahead, please.
Okay. So, this is the first reading of Bill 124, Ordinance 20-313, text amendments to Story County Code Title 16, Subdivisions, and Title 17, Zoning Ordinance. Specifically, section 16.20.10 and 17.03.230. Is that enough, Bob, or is there something additional that you need?
I believe that's good.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, would you like to entertain a motion?
I will, thank you, Jay. Let's see here. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I next go and move to approve the first reading of Bill 124, Ordinance 20-313, text amendments to the Story County Code, Title 16, Subdivisions, and Title 17, Zoning Ordinance, specifically sections 16.20.010 and 17.03.230. To modify language that allows for a third-party review for planned unit development and subdivision applications, including the cost for such third-party review be paid by the applicant. Date for second reading is scheduled for December the 15th, 2020, Board of County Commissioners meeting.
All right, thank you for the motion. I will second the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes. We're going to need to go back to item number 18, and officially continue this item. Is that right, Austin?
I believe that's correct. Keith Lewis and Bob Morrison are the line. I believe Bob Morrison will be for number 18. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, we did not address the continuance of that ordinance when we approved the agenda. So we'll have to be formally moved to or continue to the 15th by motion.
All right. So if there's nothing from either you or Bob, I'm going to look at Lance, and do you want to entertain a motion for continuance?
We will have to do public comment.
Oh, excuse me. Is there any public comment regarding this item before we move forward? Going once, going twice.
Yes, sir. We are going to revisit item number 18, which is a discussion of possible action. And we're going to hereby amend by
there is a prepared motion on that item 18. I can read it for you if you'd like, and you could adopt it in if you're trying to find it.
It would be helpful because I am. Thank you.
Not a problem with Mr. Chairman. If you're okay, I'll go ahead and read the motion for Commissioner Gilman.
Please do.
All right, the recommended motion is I, Commissioner, move to continue the second reading of ordinance number 2316 to December 15, 2020. And I would add in there to be held at the Story County Courthouse / Zoom meeting on that date. If Mr. Lucas and Mr. Morris agree, that would be the motion.
That's fine.
All right. So, Lance, you want to just say ditto?
Okay, yes, I'll second that motion that I read to Austin Hubbard.
All right, so I will second Lance's motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes. Now on to item number 20. This is for discussion, possible action, approval of the business license, second readings, items A through G. Are there any public comments regarding this item? All right, not seeing any public comment. Lance, would you like to entertain a motion, please? You're on mute again, Lance.
I will move to approve the second reading of the business licenses A through G.
Thank you. We have a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Now on to item number 21, which is public comments. No action will be taken. Is there any public comment from anyone today? All right, I don't see any public comments. With that said, it is 11:28, and I would like to adjourn this meeting. See everybody on December 15th. Thank you.